Last shot. Back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do to Parker. Parker pitches it. And it's strike! Strike! 30! 20! Gronkowski's got a tackle!
Oh, that's no way!
He no got way! It in the end zone!
No way!
Touchdown!
The Dolphins win it!
Unbelievable!
Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable!
I don't believe what I just saw!
All right, expecting Kiko Alonso in a minute here. It's Dolphins Monday, defended by your insurance attorney, Anthony Lopez. Call 305-800-LOSS. That was the call yesterday here on WQAM. Jimmy, Bob, and our own big dog.
No, that was just me screaming.
Yeah,
and
it was great.
Right at us,
it
right?
Was so
right
great.
In the corner,
yep.
Where we do the game on radio, and coming right at us, and then just... Then you even saw the angle. Like, I'm looking, well, Gronk's got him, and then you see Gronk kind of trip.
It's it. It's over.
And then Kenyon just, I go, oh, that's right. He's really fast. Went down the sideline, didn't get touched.
He went from fourth to fifth gear when Gronk stumbled.
Yeah,
you can just tell. I'm getting in that end zone. Yep.
It was like he wasn't sure for a second whether he was going to cut in or out on him. But as soon as Gronk made the little turn. And
I got the angle now.
Looked like he'd never tried to make a tackle before. Of course. Brady doesn't get interceptions that much, so Gronk probably doesn't get a chance a lot of tackling practice. But man, that was unbelievable.
Plus, think about Gronk and that play when that play starts. Gronk's thinking to himself, if they don't try to throw the ball 80 yards downfield, which would be an impossible feat anyway for Ryan Tannehill, that I'm good. Like, nothing's even coming my way. Like, someone's going to tackle one of those guys before they get to me.
Yeah.
And then Drake cuts in the middle after the Larson block. At that point, Gronk probably went, oh, bleep. Like, it's on me now to make this tackle. If one of my guys, oh, it's on me. Oop. And then that was it. It was
a lot
over.
Of people were really critical of Gronk being deep on that last play. But, And of course, your second guess, because the guys were on the sideline, even the guys were mentioned who could have been out there that are much better, who are good tacklers and good stuff, and they should have been out there, should have known that they weren't going to try to throw it 80 yards because nobody can throw it that
Come
far.
On.
Nor can your guys get down there. There's no guarantee they get down there in time
to throw it.
Well, I'm exaggerating. I don't know about
six seconds,
but,
whatever it is.
It would have been crazy. But anyway, hey, a guy's a big part of that game yesterday. I can't even imagine how jacked up he is today. A guy having just a really, really good football season, making a zillion tackles, got three interceptions. Kiko Alonso, linebacker of the Miami Dolphins, joining us this morning. Kiko, have you been to sleep yet, my man, or have you been out all night? Tell it straight to me, man.
No, man, you guys just woke me up.
Hey, so I'm not going to get that fired up Kiko Alonso that I always see before the game. Kiko, run me through that last play and what it was like for you as you're watching this, and you had to be thinking, man, this is going to be a long shot. But as it gets scored, it's closer to scoring, what was it like for you?
Well, yeah, man, to be honest with you, you know, that – usually it is a long shot, and then you know once they were getting once like KD was at like you know the 20 yard line or so, I was like, man, I was like oh shit, oh, he's in there, like,
right?
And I saw like you know he turned that corner on Gronk, and I was like, oh my god, like it was ridiculous, man. Like it looked like he was just like running way faster than everyone else.
Well, he
usually
right. Yeah, I was about to say. You probably see that a lot. And of course, listen, Kiko, the back and forth in the first half, 48 points scored between both teams, just the way that entire game kind of played out. Was that one of the greatest games you've just ever been a part of?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, obviously the offense did a great job putting points on the board, and, you know, you know, I think the defense, definitely we could have played better, but, you know, just coming out with the win it was a pretty unbelievable game.
Kiko, it's amazing because I talked to you before the game. You felt really good. Like, you were like, hey, man, we got a really good chance to win this game. And I'm kind of looking at you going, okay, man, I'm glad you're pumped up. And But like,
yeah,
Xavier,
I knew you'd look at me like that.
Kiko, that's all Joe came in and talked about today. When your name was on the guest list, man, Kiko was pumped up before the game, man.
I said, Kiko was believing they're going to, I go, you know, the X-Man's not playing. Xavier, how you go, hey, man, we're going to be ready. We're ready to go. And you guys played that way. That was, you know, I know it wasn't perfect defense, and you're probably not happy with that, but the effort that everybody put out, you can't do any more than what you guys did in that one. Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely, man. That's how we're playing, man. We're playing with tremendous effort, and you know, there's gonna be mistakes, but you know, the way we're playing is the way we're playing. You know, the effort can really, you know, just a lot of mistakes. You know, the effort will you know, kind of
get you through. Yeah,
sorry, I don't know. I'm trying to say
no that. That's all right. Hey,
like I said, you guys woke me up.
No, listen. And we would have got some Cuban coffee in you if I would have known. You know, I'd have stayed out with you, but I can't run with you. You're too hard to – you and that damn crazy brother of yours are too hard for me to run with, man. I'm not in that league.
You can't put me in the same category as my brother.
that's a different level. Oh, man. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. Nobody has more fun than your brother. Hey, Kiko, I do want to ask you, though. Nobody's enjoyed playing in South Florida. I always tell everybody this than you are, especially with a Colombian mother and a Cuban father. This has got to be a blast for you and your family, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. It's a dream come true. I got my whole family here. You know, I'm close to my family, and it truly is a dream come true. And it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you about Ryan Tannehill coming back in. I thought we might have lost him. He turned that ankle over real badly in the first half. That sucker came out, started the second half. Boy, when you found out he was playing, it had to make you feel pretty darn good. What about Ryan Tannehill's effort and the way he played yesterday?
Man, like you said, man, when I saw that, I was like, damn, it didn't look good. But, you know, he came back out there, you know, he showed tremendous toughness. And, you know, Tannehill is a real tough guy, man. You know, he takes some shots. And, you know, he goes out there. To come back after that is show tremendous toughness.
Yeah, no, there's no. Hey, by the way, you were a little jacked up on with Bocamper on that CBS4 post game TV show.
Oh yeah,
did you get a little jacked up on that show yesterday? Were you a little fired up on with Kim Bocamper?
Yeah, man. Of course,
you were.
Man, you're not supposed to talk about people's private parts.
That's right.
He had a large pair of basketballs, man. Right, that was awesome, Kiko. You are, don't you ever change, brother.
Nope.
You are too much. Kiko, we're going to let you go back to sleep, man. But thanks for the effort of waking up. You going back or are you up for the morning now? What are you doing?
Nah, man, I'm up now.
All right.
I'm up now.
Well, listen,
but
take
it's
care.
All right, man. It's always good talking to you guys.
All right, Kiko, you take care. Enjoy your day and a half off, will you?
Thank you.
All right, man. Kiko Alonso joins Miami Dolphins linebacker. He was very honest right out of a dead sleep.
That's it.
Joe, you got me right out of a dead sleep. I'm not going to lie
to you. Probably still laying there with a phone in his hand. Yeah.
He's up.
Yeah, he's up for the day.
Yeah, he's up and ready to go.
20 minutes from now, he'll be a little bit better.
Man, what a day yesterday. It was crazy. There's so many different things to talk about, and I got to take a second here and switch over before I forget. We had state finals over the weekend, and a big congratulations to Cardinal Gibbons, Chaminade, and Northwestern High School. And Cardinal Gibbons hasn't won a state championship forever. Northwestern, that comeback after they were so bad was so bad to start the year. And come back and win a state championship the way they did. So to Max Edwards from Northwestern, Matt DeBuck from Cardinal Gibbons, and Damian Jones from Chaminade.
Congratulations.
Yeah, those aren't easy to win, man.
Nope.
And so the we end up going 3-3 up there. Three teams, not the record that
Blue thought 6-0, and you thought 5 out of 6.
Yeah. So
three out of six ain't bad. Still
no,
three state championships.
And a lot of more close losses, really close losses. And a couple of the teams that won it ended up getting nice blowouts in their game. So good stuff all the way around. Yesterday was an unbelievable day in the National Football League. Maybe the best weekend of the year, especially for a couple of Dade County guys. T.Y. Hilton, who grew up down here, 9 catches for 199 yards, woo-hoo, helping the Colts go on the road to beat the Texans, which I don't know if a lot of people saw that coming.
Well, Texans haven't lost in how long?
Oh, well, they went 8 or 9 in a row.
They went 9 in a row.
Nine in a row. Jeez, crazy. And then the other one, of course, Amari Cooper, who got a fresh start. Looks like a different guy. He doesn't even look close. Like, who is that guy playing in Oakland? He got to Dallas and put on that new uniform. He goes, oh, now I feel like a top first-round pick. He is playing like a big-time number one receiver. 10 catches, 217 yards, and 3 touchdowns for the former Northwestern Bull.
A month ago, we were ready to fire Garrett, pretty by the fired way, up. In Dallas. Everyone wanted to fire Garrett about a month ago. They're now 8-5 in the fourth seed in the NFC.
You say, who? Who were you saying?
Yeah.
No. He's really good to go. No problem there. Anyway, we got to continue on here. Got a lot more stuff to get to here. We'll come back and check in with Jeff Darlington. Jeff Darlington dropping the kids off at school. He was there from ESPN yesterday covering the game. So we'll get to everything with him coming up in just a moment. But first, I got to tell you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage Bank. If you're going through mortgage banker frustration, you know what that is by now. Mortgage banker frustration is what I've had a long, long time ago. We'll never have again, not with Michael Kotze. But that's where you go to get approved, and you're like, why does it take so long? I might be broke, but my wife's doing great. Whatever your situation, it doesn't matter. Hey, listen, with Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage Bank, he's about getting you approved quickly. Poor credit, weak tax returns, not enough money for a down payment. You had a foreclosure, maybe even went through a short sale in the past 5 years. Whatever it is, he can still get you approved. And by the way, if things are good in your life, yeah, and you just need somebody to really take good care of you and get it done quickly. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage Bank really is a guy to go in any county. He can get things right. People are stumbling around for you, going, well, give me a couple more days. I'll get back to you. No. I don't want to lose my home I want to get. Please get me approved now. I want to put it in and get it done, man. Well, that's what Michael Kotze is going to do at Choice Mortgage Bank. I just want to tell you, if you're frustrated at all or you can't find anybody, you're new in town, I want to introduce you to your new mortgage banker, Michael Kotze. He's been doing this since 1994 with a AAA rating with a Better Business Bureau, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 166254. Here's his cell phone number, too. 561-441-2730. Write it down. I don't care, good or bad. Don't be embarrassed. He's going to take care of you. 561-441-2730 for Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage Bank.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Daniel, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do to Parker. Parker pitches it, and it's strike! Strike! 30, 20! Gronkowski's got a tackle!
Oh, that's it! He got it in the end zone! Touchdown! The Dolphins win it!
Unbelievable!
Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable!
I don't believe what I just saw!
All right, nothing like a little sports orgasm to kind of get you going in the morning. I about broke my hand beating against that the glass that doesn't open for our broadcast, and it was crazy.
I can't get enough of that. By the way, joining us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, ESPN reporter and at the game yesterday, our friend Jeff Darlington. Jeff, what'd you think about that final play? And I'm sure you didn't hear the radio caller. Maybe you did last night late, but as you can hear, Joe Rowe's still recovering from it.
Yeah, sports orgasm. That really gave me a great visual.
I'm sitting next to him when he said it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's awesome.
I'm sorry. That kind of ruined. You just drop your kids off, and now you hear that. Yeah. You're like, really? Hey,
yeah. That's right.
What'd you think overall about it?
I look. The thing is, we're obviously all going to remember that play at the end. The crazy thing is that game. In general, I didn't realize this. I was just looking at kind of a stats pack that they send us at ESPN from Elias. That game had 9 lead changes.
Yes.
That's the second most in NFL history in a game.
Wow.
I had no idea. I mean, I knew it was a good game. I knew it was kind of going back and forth, an early shootout in the first half, but I had no idea it was that, like, kind of historic from that perspective. So, I mean, it was incredible. I was standing on the sideline. I'm not going to name names, but I saw a couple of players basically walking to the locker room, kind of like drifting off, like they knew this was the last play, nothing's going to happen, and they were kind of heading in. It was done. I mean, that's the way we all felt, right?
Yeah. Is that?
So,
yeah. Crazy.
Well, Gilmore was on the field, and he did that also.
He walked off.
If you go back and watch the replay, Gilmore, literally the entire play is going left, and he just starts running right. Like, what the hell was he doing?
Yeah, the whole thing from the Patriots' perspective, too, like the Gronkowski thing certainly is going to be a Monday morning quarterback question, why they had him on the field, but, like, very legitimately, because after the game in the locker room, Devin McCourty said, a reporter asked him, like, what did they think was going to happen there, and McCourty said, well, we knew it wasn't going to be a Hail Mary because it was 70 yards. And
right.
No one tries to throw a 70-yard Hail Mary. And he didn't say this, but I'll add it, with a quarterback who's been dealing with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, correct. Like,
so to have Gronkowski out there as, like, the hands guy was a really weird call. And I know Belichick said that he felt like it was in between. Like, you had to have hands out there and be ready for the desperado play. But, like, I don't know. Like, I know we're not supposed to question the great one, but that was a very weird one from my perspective.
What do you think about the way they handled? They marched down the field and then kind of set up for the last field goal. What do you think of that decision? Way handled that one? It looked like they were moving the ball at will.
Yeah, very conservative, and you know, I get it. I mean, here's the thing. Look, I get it from the perspective that how much time was on the clock after that field goal? I can't even – I don't remember.
After the field goals, what, 15, 16, 17 seconds, something like that, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think that you're playing a conservative with the idea that, you know, and let's be real here, that the Dolphins are not going to pull off a 70-yard touchdown, which they shouldn't have. You know, I mean, that's insane. That doesn't really happen. But, you know, the conservative nature of that – I mean, it was a weird game even at the end of the first half for them to leave points out there. The way that they did. That was very strange. That I don't know what it is, man. There's some kind of weird voodoo at Hard Rock Stadium with this team. And the Dolphins took advantage of it. That's also Ryan Tannehill is the only quarterback to beat Tom Brady 4 times.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy. And by the way, he made some throws. He made 2 deep throws, one to Kenny Stills and one down the middle to Butler. That were big time throws. I know everybody gets on him, and then his toughness to come back. And playing the second half, he turned that thing over, Jeff. I'm sure you saw it where you were when they showed it a few times. That was a bad turnover of the ankle.
So I was talking to a coach after the game on the field. This is probably, I mean, what was this? This is probably about 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. or so. Or no, actually closer to, you know, I don't know, whatever. It was well after the game is my point. So the coach was telling me, though, that when Tannehill came out after the half to warm it up, this coach looked over and goes, there's no chance he's going back in. He said it to another coach. Like, he can't. Like, there's no way that the injury that he suffered, that he should be going back in the game. And Tannehill was like, no, I'm good. I'm going back in. So, I mean, obviously Tannehill gets plenty of criticism, and there are times that what he does can be incredibly frustrating when he holds on to the ball too long. Whatever it is, I get it. But the one thing that, I mean, we cannot question – on his career is his toughness. There's
I agree.
No questioning that. Regardless of the injuries that have at times plagued him, there's no questioning the toughness.
Jeff, 48 points in the first half, even though there's 3 points that Brady kind of left on the field, 27-21. I would never expect that to happen, go back and forth.
No.
The entire first half, back and forth.
Well, and it's especially crazy. And this is what's so weird is, like, the way that the Dolphins played the Patriots in New England. I mean, it couldn't have been further from that,
right?
Like, the lethargic offense that looked like it just didn't have any creativity or energy. And then all of a sudden you see this where Patriots roll down and Dolphins just, boom, answer. And, I don't understand what the difference is. I don't claim to be a football expert. I just like to tell the stories that other people tell me. But it seems pretty weird that it's like, why can't it happen in both places? I don't know.
Yeah, and let me ask you this. Do you think they're affected? I was asked this too. they affected by the humidity, especially the big guys when they come down here?
Like, I was talking about this before the game. Like, I was standing on a sideline in a suit. Maybe I'm used to this because I live down here, but, like, I wasn't sweating. Like, it wasn't that bad. I mean, the field itself, like, I don't know. It's just
we ran all over them, man, and I didn't expect that. I mean, the biggest surprise besides that the game, the way it ended, they ran for 189 yards. They damn near went for 200 yards against the front seven of the Patriots.
Right. I mean, and I think this is probably in New England a completely different conversation where they're saying, man, are we a sustainable team in the playoffs this year? Because that's the most rushing yards that they've given up since 2011.
Wow.
In a game. So, I mean, we're talking to the Jets in, like, 2011. So we're talking about, like, they're looking at themselves in the mirror right now saying, man, like, our defense sucks. Like, that was not a good performance by the Patriots' defense. But at the same time, like, I go back to that stat about the lead changes. 9 lead changes doesn't just suggest that a defense on both sides is struggling, but that both offenses are saying, no, we're gonna go back out there and we're gonna score again and we're gonna battle back. So, I mean, I actually think it probably says more about the Dolphins' resiliency, whatever that leads them, than the Patriots' insufficiencies.
Where you've watched a lot of NFL games, you've seen a lot of the Dolphins covering them down here. Where does that last play to end the game rank for you as far as great plays?
It reminded me there's a lot on the line right now in terms of trying to get the wild card. So it's not in the playoffs. It's not like the fake spike. It's not Nat Moore doing the helicopter. It reminded me, this is probably not a cool comparison, it reminded me more of the Greg Camarillo catch.
Cleo Lemon, that's right.
In 2000. And it was the same corner of the end zone where everybody did the dog pile. Like, that's what it felt like to me, this sort of euphoric, slightly fabricated Super Bowl victory.
Hey, man, but every win feels that way down here.
And I'm not trying to take it away from anybody because I get it. You know, I live down here, so I see and understand the feelings of Dolphins fans. They need that once in a while. They need that euphoria. And that was it. So, I mean, and here's the big picture. It does really put them in that wild card hunt because 2 weeks ago, they needed to beat the Colts. Like, they needed that game because you don't necessarily think you're going to win these games. So this kind of flips it and puts the Dolphins right back in the hunt. So while I kind of joke about the fabricated euphoria, that was a very, very important win to the season.
Jeff, we got to give some love today. I know Drake ran it in. I know Kenny Stills caught it. And I know Parker threw a nice little lateral. What about Ted Larson? We need to give Ted Larson a lot of love today on ESPN or whatever it is. Yes, he had the block downfield.
That was a monster block. Yeah, totally. Perfect, perfect timing on that, and no doubt, man, that was a well. I don't know if it was well orchestrated, but it worked out.
Worked out exactly the way they planned it.
Just
that's
the way
right?
you want. Yep. Lyman, go down, get the last block. Kenyon will do the rest. Frank Gore, just amazing. Yeah. Now over 700 yards, 94 yesterday, a 24-yard catch after a short catch, makes a nice quick move to get up the field. Have you been surprised that Frank Gore has been this good at age 35?
I mean, yes and no. No, because it's just what everybody says about him, that he's just a machine and continues to do it. Yeah, it's funny. I was just standing there. This is toward the end of the game, actually, when it seemed like the Dolphins were about to lose. And I was looking at Frank Gore. He was standing on the sideline with his helmet off. And I was like, he just looks like a Hall of Fame player. Like, he just has this like look where I can picture that bust in Canton. You know, I don't know what it is about him, but I just look at that guy and he just looks like a legend to me. So I love everything about Frank Gore.
Yeah.
And I think that it is awesome that it looks at least like he'd finish his career in Miami, whatever that is.
Yeah. In 15 years, you know, he's going to play about 15 more years, probably looks like, right?
Jeff,
do you always have to wear that suit on the sideline? Every time I see you before.
He goes on TV. Of course he does.
But they don't let you dress casual like it's South Florida, man.
I am a vain mother.
That's right. Tell him.
And I want to look good. Yeah. I might not smell good underneath that suit. I might be sweating. There might be some things going on.
Fresh haircut yesterday. Like, my man was out there looking good.
I'm looking good. Yeah. And that's what matters. Okay?
Got a couple live ESPN hits. No, he's not going to be out there in shorts and a T-shirt.
Oh, no. He's out there working before the game,
though. Of course
he is. I'm not even worried about TV. I'm just trying to stroll the sideline.
Yeah. A couple good pictures and videos before the game, too. I saw that with Brady out there and then Brady bumping into Belichick. That was good stuff yesterday.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, we're it's not really a hard job.
No, give yourself a little bit of credit. That's good
Jeff.
Stuff.
Hey man, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks,
we appreciate
guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah.
Jeff Darlington from ESPN is at Hard Rock yesterday for the big, big win. He joins us on the Toyota
Hollywood
Hotline.
He's in on the family NFL bonding. He's part of it, man.
Yep.
He's good around the league. He's been doing a lot of ESPN.
No, he's been around.
A lot of New England Patriots stuff down here with the Dolphins stuff. Yeah. Takes his kids to school in the morning.
Nice dad right there.
No, he's doing the whole thing. He's the total package. You know, speaking of that, so Jeff tells me yesterday, he says, hey, I got to get my wife, man. I'm gone a lot. I got the kids. She's been doing a lot. I said, I know where you're going. I go to Beverly's Jewelers. I said, I'm dead serious. Go see Jeff Malvin. Go see the family at Beverly's Jewelers. They've been around forever. They didn't just open here before the holiday season. They've been in business forever, no matter what. They're my personal jeweler for the last 30 years. They're going to be yours. You know I like to save money and get beautiful things for Mrs. Rose, whether it's a makeup, a breakup, a little argument, or just, man, you're a special lady. Whatever it is, Beverly's Jewelers has a huge selection, low prices, friendly staff. I wouldn't go anywhere else, Jeff, and I don't want you to either. They make it easy. They have gifts for every budget, including deals that will make you look like $1 million for less than $100, and that's what I like. I tell everybody, they're going, well, I don't know about my money. You know, you go to a jewelry store. No, they got something for everybody. They really do. No matter how tight the money might be for the holiday season, Beverly's puts together beautiful pieces for everybody, no matter what you're looking for when it comes to GIA-certified diamonds. You want to get engaged. You're getting ready to get engaged and pop the big question. They got something for everybody. Whether you choose a natural diamond or cutting-edge lab-grown diamond, it's the way to go, and you get that low-price guarantee every day. You get free gift wrapping. Beverly's Jewelers, where South Florida gets engaged in Fort Lauderdale and Pembroke Pines, or online at bevjewelers.com. Beverly's Jewelers is going to make this a special holiday and make you feel real good.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Miami has Dolphins.
It's Dolphins Monday here, defended by your insurance attorney, Anthony Lopez. Call 305-800-LOSS. All right, so all show long, Joe, we started off. We're doing all the rejoins with it outside of our guests. The final call from yesterday, and it's like you said, the sports orgasm that happened in that booth yesterday with you guys.
Jeff didn't like that, too.
Yeah, well, he just, you know, probably had kids in the car, and that, you know, that happens sometimes. But we're going to go to the opposite side of the spectrum here.
Yeah.
Because if there was a Dolphins call, there's obviously a Patriots call, too, and one of the friends of the show that we always bring on, Scott Zolak, was at the other end of this. This is the call.
Wait, this is unedited, by the way. This is how it happened.
Oh, this is perfect. Okay, perfect. This is just, I hope there's no cursing. And this is exactly what happened yesterday if you're a Patriots fan and you were listening.
Tannehill for the Dolphins survey. What he sees in front of him, a field of defensive backs and a hawking tight end who stands at the 15-yard line. Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
Someone check those guys. Yeah, right? Wow. It's a lot of dead air.
We haven't had dead air like that no matter how bad we are.
Did Zolak drop a Jesus in the middle of that?
He went, oh, Jesus.
I don't know what to say.
For the Patriots, end of the first half. And at the end of the second half, they left points on the field several times today, including that missed opportunity in the final half minute of the second quarter. And then the Dolphins on the old hook and lateral plays, lateraling it twice, initially to Stills, then to Parker, off to Drake. And with Gronkowski, the last man back defensively for the Patriots.
Never seen anything like it.
Never seen anything like it.
I think it's almost as good as your call.
By the way, I guess he's right. I've never seen anything like it.
Of course not. That never happens. That's not supposed to happen.
By the way, the attempt at it happens all the time.
Sure, but it never actually works.
All right, no time. You don't get, you know, your return. You don't return it. You take it at the 25. The defense backs up and says, let them get it in front of us. But if everybody doesn't hustle for the ball, by the way, you don't think every team in the NFL is having the old Minnesota-New Orleans conversation, the sideline stuff, now this. Okay, first of all, everybody got to run to the ball. Even if you think he's tackled, we better see everybody run to the ball and not take any time off. And second of all, you gotta make a tackle. By the way, Gronk was standing at the 15-yard line, so they didn't think. That was just a mess up. Of course,
that was a brain fart by someone on the sideline, Belichick.
Well, whether it's Belichick or somebody, it was Belichick's pretty hands-on.
Of course.
Or, you know, the special teams coach. But to have him out there, because if he's at the 15, he's only there for one reason.
There's a Hail Mary to knock the ball down,
ain't
that's
nobody
it.
Nobody throwing a Hail Mary at the 15.
No.
There's no such thing. Hail Mary is for the end zone, brother. It is not for the 15 or 20-yard line.
What did Darlington tell us? He saw McCourty in the locker room and they knew it wasn't going to be a Hail Mary? Then what was Gronk doing in the game?
Yeah, somebody.
If I'm in Boston today or New England today, that's my question.
Literally as good a tight end as he is.
Sure.
That's not what he does.
No.
Trying to make tackles at 6'6", 260 pounds in the middle of the field.
Someone just tweeted at Joe Rose Show, the "Oh, Jesus" comment is the best. It was. Zolak doing that in the middle of that.
Well,
wow.
He's sitting there like, he's down in the same corner we are, and he's going, "Oh, Jesus, this thing's got a chance."
There's a hole right in the middle
there. Then you go, "Gronk, it's up to you," because nobody else can catch him. And Gronk staggers like he had about 12 double vodkas. And when he made that little stagger move,
it was over.
Kenyon Drake looked like he ran a 4-flat 40 going to the end zone, and it was over.
I'm so happy that it didn't happen to us. Because that's just something that we would come in here on a Monday and, like, the Chargers would have just done that to us. And it didn't. The Patriots were at the other end of this.
Yeah. It was doesn't change anything for them as far as winning the AFC East again.
It doesn't matter.
It's still going to happen. But yesterday,
we got to enjoy this day.
For a couple of hours to come back and find a way to win and run a play that is, honestly, it's impossible. You can't even practice for it because everybody's – it's all dictated by who's around you, where the ball's thrown. And in this case, Tannehill's throw was perfect to Kenny Stills. First of all, it's deep enough where guys went for it and then tackled him, and he had already gotten rid of the ball. Devontae Parker was in perfect position and got rid of the ball quickly to Kenyon Drake, who he had to get the ball. If you're going to have a chance, Kenyon Drake's got to be the final guy. So they got all that right. He's down the sideline. A guy tries to tackle him from behind and misses him. Or he got going fast enough. The guy decided to dive too early. So now, Kenyon, he picks up a couple of blocks. Mm-hmm. Guys go, okay.
Mr. Larson.
And then once he cuts back outside, and a lot of – there are probably three or four guys that look like they pretty much stopped.
Gilmore ran the opposite direction.
No, he's going to have a rough day.
He's going to have a rough one today.
His day will not be very good because he's the one guy on the backside. If everybody's hustling down the field, if everybody's going all out on the opposite side of the field and they realize Kenyon Drake's not cutting back, they can get in position to make that tackle. And I will tell you, those are – Don Shula – he was big on the hustle stuff, and if you weren't hustling, you were watching on
imagine
the field.
Walking to the practice today with that, you
goes,
on tape like that.
If you're watching, I'll just put you on the sideline. You don't have to watch on the field because there's only 11 of you. Man, I got that speech down like yesterday, man. I've heard that.
And he continues to call you out in one of those meetings. Can you imagine what's going to go on today when Belichick goes over the video and sees Gilmore legitimately, and it's not like I'm making this up, he ran the opposite direction where the ball was.
Yeah.
The ball was on the left side. He was running right. What the hell was he doing?
You wait for the other guy to make the tackle. A lot of it's human nature. You're waiting for one of your buddies on the other side, 20 yards from you, to make a tackle. You still see a lot of guys you're playing with out in front of the play. And then you start looking. You know, I've seen it now 25 times this morning here on the TVs, both nationally and locally. And you see some guys not going all out. And he's going to be salty. Like, I don't care how tired you are. I don't care. You had nothing left in the tank.
Doesn't matter. You were out there.
you got to be going really hard. And no, we're going to talk about hustle stuff on TV today, but in that meeting when you get up there, you know, there's going to be some fired up coaches with New England, and then they're going to kick themselves in the butt like Gronk. You can't get mad at Gronk. Honestly, Gronk ain't tackling anybody.
No.
Gronk's in the middle of the field. You need a guy that is used to playing in the middle of the field in open space and making tackles.
To volleyball, spike the ball down if it's a Hail Mary. That's what he's in there for. Not to tackle a dude.
No.
By the way, people were texting and tweeting at us all morning so far. If that doesn't go that way and he doesn't get in the end zone, how bad are we killing Kenny Stills today for the slide on third down?
No. Kenny Stills would be the first to tell you, man. Right.
And Rizzi for what happened with the two block punts.
Slid a yard early. After having a great game, by the way, but he's got the first down, so we don't have to get to third and one, which we're terrible at.
Terrible.
And he slides. Yep. He's easily got the first down. I mean, yeah. It's not even a question.
He got up and even pointed to the camera. Goes, my bad.
And but he had a chance to come back. Nobody probably more exciting than Kenny Stills after that game.
Oh, my God.
And he was in on the winning play.
That's it.
I mean, he really set. Tannehill's throw set it up.
But the first lateral helped.
Because you got to get it deep enough, and that was part of it, and they did, before you get into that layer of defense from the Patriots. But those guys, man, they won't be able to do that. They'll try that in practice before the end of the year, and everybody will just laugh.
Yep.
It'll just be the big
Boise.
Joke.
That was the plug.
Yeah,
call.
Boise.
Yeah.
Boise. So, Miami Miracle, Drake Escape, or what's your other one?
Oh, there's a Miracle on 199th Street. Shock at the Rock.
Shock at the Rock.
Yeah, it's a good
one. I like
one.
That. Shock at the Rock's a good one. We got 9 o'clock hour coming up. We've got a lot more stuff to get to.
Ian Eagle was on the TV call of that play.
Oh,
also.
Man. He's over. He's still on the 50. See, he's still doing the game. The national broadcast still on the 50. We're down in the peanut gallery down there in the corner now. But at least we had that play coming right at us, man. Yeah. That was beautiful.